Saga Egmont presents The Montford Maniac by M.R.C. Kasazian. Read by Emma Gregory.
Chapter 1. Oysters, Crocodiles, and Secret Messages. I passed Inspector Alfred Stanbury the letter. The paper was curled, brown and opaque. A message had been written in invisible ink beneath the words that Jack had penned when he had jilted me. ELP, and then an M had appeared briefly. I was almost certain that I had spotted another E at the end before the letters had vanished. Stanbury sniffed.
Just smells like charred paper to me.
It smelt of onion juice before I heated it. I passed him the sugar. That was what alerted me. He held the page up to the light.
It's well and truly invisible now. I can hardly make out Jack's words, let alone any secret inscriptions.
I read it, I insisted.
I'm sure you did.
Alfred stirred his coffee and glanced at the envelope. There was a small hole from when it had been pinned on the chapel door, with only my name, Lady Violet Thorne, written on it in block capitals. We were seated in my William Morris box-shaped chairs in the front sitting room, half watching the oyster man go by, pushing his barrel on a trolley.
Orford Bay, fwesh today,
he was chanting.
More likely, fwesh 2 days ago,
Stanbury quipped, as the unwelcome odours seeped under my slightly raised window.
Do you mind?
He brought out his battered crocodile cigar case. Please do. I wafted my hand uselessly and rose to push the sash down. The days were still abnormally warm for late September.
It's not much to go on,
my friend said as he slipped out a half-smoked Havana. At 19 shillings a hundred, he would not waste even part of one. It tells us Jack is in trouble, I protested. Perhaps he was forced to write the letter.
It's possible.
He struck a red safety match.
And I have to say, I was very surprised when Jack did that. I was always under the impression that he adored you.
When I had written in one of my Ruby Gibson short stories that words stabbed her to the heart, a critic, male of course, had said that the phrase was cloying claptrap. But I felt a pain as real as any in my breast at Alfred's statement. On what was supposed to have been the happiest day of my life, I had been greeted at the chapel by a grim Reverend Matthews, bearing a note from my fiancé. Jack could or would not go through with the wedding. By the time I read that, he had disappeared.
Do you want me to kill him?
Agnes had asked, and I knew that she would if she found him. Do not worry, I had replied. I shall do it myself. But I never really meant those words. Agnes was a maid in Thetbury Hall, my family seat in Norfolk, but had taken it upon herself to help raise me. Throughout my childhood she had comforted me sometimes and scolded me often. After the betrayal I had fled Thetbury to the Suffolk market town of Montford, but my parents had insisted that Agnes went with me. This was an act of kindness, my mother had claimed, though I suspected they were glad to be rid of her. I escaped to Brake House, a property I had come into on my 21st birthday. It was an oddly arranged, wedge-shaped property, being built into a corner of Seraphim Square. I did not become the hermit that some believed me to be, but I preferred to spend more of my time with my fictional characters, especially Ruby Gibson, my lady adventuress, and Inspector Havelock Hefty of Scotland Yard. They featured in most of my novels and short stories, and rather too many of my thoughts. But they could never play me false. At least, not without my permission.
But why would anyone have made Jack write it?
Stanbury wondered. I do not know. To explain his disappearance? Alfred breathed smoke through his nose.
Why have you waited until now to show it to me?
I suppose I supposed that there was nothing you could do about it, I admitted. And I do not suppose there is. Alfred dipped his head.
I am sorry to say all your suppositions are probably correct.
He rested his right ankle on his left knee.
Is Lady Anglethorpe still staying with you?